Hello. I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. I'm Tom Cooper, and I'm so glad you've joined me today for today's lesson. Today, we are talking about the importance of integrity. Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. 19th century clergyman Phillips Brooks said, "Anytime you break a moral principle, you create a crack in the foundation of your integrity. And when times get tough, it becomes harder to act with integrity, not easier." And Lead Yourself First is your system that's going to help you develop the integrity and the leadership skills that are going to help you today and every day. Now, make a point of creating lessons that are directly linked to the things you need to get to success. But when I started my career, I believed that as long as I knew more than other people, I'd be in charge. Man, was I wrong about that. People who seemed to not know as much as I knew moved ahead of me, and I was frustrated. Why were they getting promoted? What I discovered was there were critical skills that anybody could learn to improve their leadership and their influence and get things done. And I know I say this a lot, but I do these lessons because I wish that somebody had exposed me to these ideas when I was younger. Applying these ideas in my life made a huge difference, and it can do the same thing for you. Now, as we're getting ready to get into the meat of the lesson, my question for you this time and for all the times we do these lessons is, how are you going to act? What's an idea you can apply? Take something from today's lesson, immediately put it into use. What's something you can change? We're going to do something differently based on the content we talk about today, or teach. What's an idea you can share with a friend, a coworker, your boss, your spouse, somebody? Share some of these ideas. We want to be a river, not a reservoir. Now, I've been looking forward to this lesson. I say that a lot, but I look forward to this lesson because I will tell you that this is a foundational lesson. Integrity matters. We live in a time where so many people seem to believe that it's only wrong if you get caught. And in these times, integrity stands out more and more. Integrity is critical to your long-term success, no matter what you do. I heard a man say today that he was shocked by the approach that my team was taking with something. He said, it's refreshing. It's the first time in 18 years of doing this that someone has said, we slowed down to think about your needs because we didn't want to spend your money on the wrong things. That's what integrity looks like, right? We're going to say, we're going to look out for your best interest rather than our best interest. So over the next few minutes, we're going to be digging into the idea of integrity. And I'm completely convinced that if you have integrity in today's climate, you are going to stand out. And if you don't, you're going to be left out. Integrity is just so vitally important that if you work on integrity in just one area of your life, based on today's lesson, you're going to see growth, you're going to find greater trust and more consistency, you're going to see results. And maybe you're going to want to dig into tools and accountability about putting those ideas into practice. And if that's the case, I promise at the end of the lesson, I'm going to share with you a way to do that. Fair enough? Well, let's get started. So in today's lesson, we're talking about integrity. Now, often, we confuse words like honesty and character and integrity as if they're all the same, and they are closely related. But I want to take just a moment to talk about the differences between those three areas. The dictionary says honesty is adherence to facts or fairness and straightforwardness of conduct. And of course, we want people to be honest. But what about character? What does that mean? Character, the dictionary says, character is the combination of qualities or features that distinguishes one person, group, or thing from another, a distinguishing feature or attribute as of an individual, group, or category. So the combination of qualities that distinguish one person from another is the character of that person. A few lessons ago, we talked about character, and today we're talking about integrity. So we talked about honesty, we talked about character. How's that related to integrity? Well, integrity is defined as steadfast adherence to a strict moral or ethical code. Now, I'm a math guy, and integrity has the same root word as integer, and an integer is a whole number, like 5, not 5.5. The state of being whole, entire, or undiminished. So if we're talking about adherence to a strict moral or ethical code, what's your code? What are the things in your life that are non-negotiable? When my wife and I were preparing for our marriage, our premarital counselor advised us to create a list of things that were non-negotiable. And that exercise challenged us to think through the things that really do matter to us. And the things that once we decided on those, his challenge to us was to literally put them on the wall, to list the things that we will stand for no matter what. And we've had that hanging on our wall now for 21 years. So what are you going to stand for? I've heard it said if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. What is your moral code, and are you living according to what it teaches? Now, you might have a moral code, and you might be living according to that code. You might have integrity, but it might not always be the best. I listened to this quote from leadership coach Dave Anderson. Anderson says, when you combine character and integrity, here's what you get. Character is one's moral and ethical code, and integrity means to live according to that code. Thus, someone who lives with integrity lives according to their moral values. And that being said, you must first determine the moral values, the code of that person, in order to ascertain whether or not living with integrity is a good thing or a bad thing. For example, if someone has a moral code that says they should inflict injury upon a person of another religion or race, and they do so, they are, by definition, living with integrity. Unsettling, isn't it? On the other hand, if an individual has a strong moral and ethical code but compromises what is right when it serves popular opinion or in order to achieve personal gain, they're not living with integrity. Despite the quality of their character, their failure to live by their code creates significant behavioral problems. I came across this quote, making decisions is easy when you know what your values are. What do you think you would do in this situation? I came across this story in the Wichita Eagle newspaper, and it says this: a Wichita bank is suing a local woman after it says she made more than 50 withdrawals last month from an ATM that was spitting out $100 bills in place of $5 bills. Central National Bank is seeking a return of $11,607.36 plus interest from Christina Ochoa of Wichita, according to a lawsuit. The bank contends Ochoa quickly realized the ATM wasn't working like it was supposed to and calculated subsequent withdrawals to maximize the amount of cash it dispensed by mistake. Ochoa's mother is also named in the suit because she drove her daughter to the ATM to make a series of withdrawals, which stretched over a 5-day period. They were drawn on a Central National Bank checking account owned by Christina Ochoa. The bank says the total amount the ATM should have dispensed was $1,485, but the machine gave her nearly 10 times that, $14,120. The first time the ATM dispensed more money than what was due, Christina and Christy had a high duty to return the surplus funds to the bank. Not only did they fail to do so, but they capitalized on the situation by making a series of over 50 structured withdrawals, most within minutes of each other, and transacted at all hours of the night in order to expose Central to more loss, according to the lawsuit. Reached by phone this week, the Ochoas deny wrongdoing and said they didn't receive any more money from the ATM than was requested. Christy said her daughter kept records of the withdrawals and did not receive any $100 bills. She had every transaction receipt. She said, my daughter never stole that kind of money. Asked why they went to the ATM more than 50 times in 5 days, Christy said her daughter wanted to have $5 bills to make a money cake as a gift for an acquaintance who had just had a baby, and the bank wasn't open to give her the exact number of fives that she needed. A money cake resembles a birthday cake, but is made using rolled and folded paper bills. You can't type in the number of fives you want at the ATM, so that's why we did multiple transactions. The Ochoa said they couldn't recall how many $5 bills were used to make the cake or on what day the cake was given to her acquaintance. If we had all that money, where did it go? The bank, in its lawsuit, says that when Christina was making the withdrawals, the ATM was not functioning properly. The Of the more than 50 withdrawals Christina made from the ATM, 38 were made between midnight and 4:08 a.m. She also deposited a total of $1,928 into her account using the ATM as she was making the series of withdrawals. Christy says that money was casino winnings from a recent trip. Oh, my. It goes on and on. Well, what would you do if you found that the ATM was giving out the wrong bills? And what if you realized it was possible to steal and never get caught? Would that stealing be okay with you? What if you stole $500,000 from a billionaire who would never miss it? Would it be okay? Integrity is an inside job. It's not what others think of you. It's all about you. My mentor, John Maxwell, shares some questions that can help you take inventory of your integrity. Here's 10 questions. Number one, how well do I treat people if I gain nothing? Number two, am I transparent with others? Number three, do I role play based on the people I'm with? Number four, am I the same person in the spotlight as I am when I'm alone? Number five, do I quickly admit to wrongdoing without being pressed to do so? Number six, do I put people ahead of my personal agenda? Number seven, do I let circumstances dictate my choices, or do I have an unchanging standard for my moral decisions? Number eight, do I make difficult decisions even when they have a personal cost associated with them? Number nine, this is a good one. When I have something to say about people, do I talk to them or about them? And number 10, am I accountable to at least one other person for what I think, say, and do? Now, I've got a really hard question. As we just looked over those 10 questions, and you quietly gave yourself an answer for some of those questions, did you lie to yourself about any of those? If integrity is something you're not great at, you might tend to skip through those harder questions or answer as you wish you were rather than as you are. It's been said you don't really know a person until you've seen them interact with a child, when their car has a flat tire, when the boss is away, and when they think no one will ever know. But here's the thing. People with integrity never have to worry about that because their behavior is the same no matter where they are, no matter what the circumstances, or who's watching. Now, you can do what you want, but I'll tell you this. Choosing integrity is not going to let you down. Ultimately, all other roads are going to lead you to destruction. I had a client who contacted me. They said they had a high-producing team member who had gone to the lunchroom, and they had a drink and snack machines in there, and he walked up to a machine, he helped himself to a soda, and didn't bother to pay for it. Now, they were so shocked by learning this that they went back and reviewed the videotapes of the lunchroom, and what they found was this was a consistent pattern where this high-producing team member would go and just help himself to a soda anytime he wanted. Now, what would you do in that situation? You have somebody who's a good guy, good team member, hard worker, producer, but they're stealing. Now, they're only stealing a little bit. So what would you do if you had an employee who was stealing just a little bit? Well, my client decided they were going to let that team member go. And other people in the organization were shocked. They said, but he was such a good producer. I mean, you'd have been willing to increase his pay by the cost of a soda or two a day if he'd asked, so what's the big deal? He was a good producer. How could you let him go? Tom Peters says there's no such thing as a minor lapse of integrity. And I think he's right. The Book of Wisdom says that if you're faithful with little, you will be faithful with much. And the inverse is true, too. If you'll steal a little bit from the company, you'll steal a lot. It's just a matter of degree. That's what we were talking about in that quote at the top of the lesson that says, every time you break a moral principle, you create a crack in the foundation of your integrity. And when times get tough, it becomes harder to act with integrity, not easier. If you've got a pattern where you're just helping yourself to a little bit more than you're entitled to, maybe you're padding your expense report a little bit, maybe you're, whatever it is, you're lessening your ability to say no when the hard times come. That high producer gave himself permission to take. He said it was okay with him to do what others were not allowed to do. Had another client that had an hourly manager ask another employee to clock her back in earlier than she actually came back into the store. And the owner of the business wrestled with what to do about it, but honesty is a core value for the owner, and she decided to let that manager go. What would you do? How would you decide what to do if you were that manager, or if you were the owner of the business? How would you make that decision? I saw a story from former Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Tony Dungy. He was talking about when his personal integrity was tested, and here's what he said. I was an assistant coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we were playing the Denver Broncos in a big football game. A technician from one of the TV stations told me about a trick play the Broncos were going to run. He happened to see them run it during their practice. I thought, this is not the way I'm supposed to get information, but it could definitely help us win the game. I struggled with whether I should tell my defensive players, but I decided I couldn't do it because I didn't get the information in the right way. As the story would unfold, the play happened just after my friend told me. A certain player came in the game and they threw a halfback pass for a touchdown. I felt terrible that I hadn't alerted my players, but I felt like I did the right thing. What would you have done with that insider information? What standard would you have used to try to decide whether or not you were going to share that? These are the questions that determine the moral code that you hold. How do you determine what's right? Do you have a moral code that says help people or hurt people? And if you do, why do you have whatever code it is? And what does it take for you to live in a way that's consistent with that code? You might remember the story that was told in the book and miniseries Band of Brothers. That book was a powerful book and a powerful miniseries. It was the story of a group of soldiers from the beginning of their training for World War II through the end of the war. One of the main characters in the story was Dick Winters. And as the story unfolded, Winters became the leader of the men through most of the story. And Winters had a very strong moral code that he held to. And he felt that his moral code was critical to his personal identity. The website, The Art of Manliness, tells this part of Winters' story. There were a lot of ways that integrity played out in Dick Winters' life, from refusing to, quote, raise hell, unquote, while on leave, to demonstrating courage under fire, even to the point where he felt that using profanity was not becoming to him as a leader. So he stopped using profanity. I just saw somebody on a TV show, one of the people who's on a reality TV show, was saying, how do you stop cursing? Well, Winters decided to do it, and he did it. And later, many, many, many years later, when the miniseries was being produced, he had access to a transcript of the dialogue from the miniseries. And Winters was personally offended that his character, who was played by Damian Lewis, used excessive profanity throughout the series. Dick immediately wrote a letter to Tom Hanks, resigning from the project, because he said, quote, I don't want these boys and girls thinking it is acceptable to use profanity. You know, that is not who I am. Hanks issued a tepid apology, but he claimed it was too late in the production cycle to edit the offensive language. Dick held firm and steadfastly countered each of Hanks' points in rebuttal. Winters won again, and you won't hear a single word of profanity from Lewis in the miniseries. Now, I'll tell you, Winters, when I look at the context of his life, he's an inspiration to me. What about for you? What's the moral code to which you hold? How do you decide what is right? Well, it's almost time for you to create your personal action plan based on today's lesson. And as you're getting ready to do that, I want to recap what we've talked about. We talked about honesty, character, and integrity. How honesty is adherence to the facts. Character is the combination of qualities or features that distinguishes you. And integrity is that steadfast adherence to a strict moral or ethical code. We talked about John Maxwell's 10 questions. And how well do I treat people if I gain nothing? Am I transparent with others? Do I role play based on the people I'm with? Am I the same person in the spotlight as I am when I'm alone? Do I quickly admit to wrongdoing without being oppressed to do so? Do I put people ahead of my personal agenda? Do I let circumstances dictate my choices, or do I have an unchanging standard for my moral decisions? Do I make difficult decisions even when they have a personal cost associated with them? When I have something to say about people, do I talk to them or about them? And am I accountable to at least one other person for what I think, say, and do? And the bonus question number 11 is, did you just lie to yourself when you answered any of those questions? Are you the person who's going to be like the guy who was stealing the sodas, or are you going to be more like Dick Winters? How will you decide what is right and what is wrong? How will you decide what you're going to do next? So as you're creating your action plan, what's the one idea from today's lesson that you're going to apply, change, or teach? Now, maybe you're with your team right now, and you need to think about what integrity looks like for your team as you listen to this. Now, I mentioned earlier that you might be interested in learning more or spending some more time on this topic, and you might think, it sounds good, but I'm not sure where to start. How would I even get started? Well, if that's you, I've got a way to help you start thinking about your code, and it's about your values. What do you really value? It's a way to let you think about this and quickly gain insights about your values to be able to put them into words. Today's offer helps you to identify from a list of values and their definitions and gives you a worksheet and a recorded lesson that's going to walk you through the process of identifying your values and putting those values into words. And when you're done, you'll understand yourself better and you can clearly put into words those things that matter. And then you'll know what adjustments you need to make. This self-understanding is invaluable. And the cost of this is only $39. I really want to get this out there to as many people as possible, and I want to make sure you've got access to it. Insights about yourself, practical applications, ideas, and growth for a low price. If it's interesting to you, reach out to me, tom@brighthillgroup.com, tom@brighthillgroup.com. We'll get it all set up. Thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I am looking forward to hearing from you next time.